This is Hacker Public Radio episode 3537 for Tuesday the 22nd of February 2022. Today's show is entitled, Getting to Blinky with Flashforth. It is hosted by Brian in Ohio, and is about 28 minutes long, and carries a clean flag. The summary is, making an Arduino board useful.
Hello, Hacker Public Radio. Brian in Ohio here. I'm out from under my rock and doing another episode on putting forth onto Arduino boards. On the last episode, I talked about a link to donate to the project, the Flash Forth project, and I said I was going to put it in the show notes. I didn't do it, but I'll make sure I get it in this time. There's a couple ways to get there, but I'll put the long PayPal link as opposed to the SourceForge page and then the clicking on the donate button there. So to get started, to put FlashForth onto an Arduino board, there's a few things you'll need, hardware and software-wise. So starting with the hardware, you'll need, of course, an Arduino board of some sort. Arduino Uno or Pro Mini. I think the Leonardo's work and the Arduino Mega. The reason I say all that is that there are, in the last episode I talked about compiling Forths. FlashForth has pre-compiled binaries that are available when you download the project. And so you don't have to, initially you don't have to do any compiling of anything. You can just upload the program from the file that you download from the FlashForth site. So, and that being said, the only pre-built binaries are for those chipsets, the Atmega 328, the Atmega 2560, the Leonardo boards, which are Atmega 32U4s, and there's actually two separate binaries, one where you're using the onboard USB and one where you're not. So just have to be careful. For today's show, I'm using an Arduino Pro Mini clone that I got off. I said Pro Mini, but I mean an Arduino Nano. An Arduino Nano board that that I got off of eBay for, you know, you buy five of them for $15 or something like that. And so I've had a bunch of these around. That's what I'll be using to do the demo. As far the other hardware you'll need is you'll need a programmer. I've used the Adafruit, the USB Tiny programmer for many years. I did an episode 2799, on how to build your own programmer using an Arduino Nano clone. Basically the same, one of the boards that I bought in that same group that I did for that episode. So if you just want to build one yourself, you can go to HPR 2799 and listen to that. You'll need some cables, whatever cables are available you need for the boards. For this setup, it's kind of nice. It's one cable. It's one of these USB-A's or something, slightly fatter end. It's the one that came with all the little boards. And so you only need one cable for that. So pretty small amount of hardware there. If you, software-wise, you're going to, of course, need FlashForth. I'll put a download link for where to get the project. It's from SourceForge. Don't be frightened by that. SourceForge is probably no worse than GitHub. Maybe better, actually, than GitHub, now that Microsoft has their filthy fingers in GitHub. So anyway, get FlashForth. You have to unzip it, and then you'll also need AVRDude. AVRDude is a program that is the communication program between your file. It's a way to get your file, your hex file, onto the board. It's a flasher. It's a very powerful program, lets you do a lot of things on the board at a very low level. And so get AVRDude and install it. And you'll also need some kind of a serial terminal program. You can use Minicom, PuTTY, you can use Emacs, There's a built-in serial term for Emacs. I don't think there's one for Vim. Maybe there is. Who knows? And anyway, so I need some kind of terminal program. I'll leave that up to you. There's also, in the Flash Forth project, there's a couple of... there's a Python-based terminal shell, and there's a TCL-based terminal shell. They're actually both pretty good. The nice thing that they have is it allows pretty easy uploading of words from your whatever editing program you have, and it also has command history, so you can, if you're doing things over and over, you can just up arrow and hit enter, which is kind of something that you'll find you'll do as you develop Forth programs on these microcontrollers. As far as installing goes, there is a guide at FlashForth, the FlashForth website. Specifically, there's some for the PIX microcontrollers. There's some one for the Atmega chips, and that's what we're going to look at today. So to get started, first thing you're going to need to do is you're going to need to plug in your programmer into your board. For my little nano boards, I guess this is a piece of hardware you'd want to have because I'm using the programmer I built. It works better easier if you use one of these solderless breadboards. And plug in your programmer, and there's a little wire on this specific programmer. There's a little wire that goes into the reset pin that controls resetting the chip that you're flashing. Then you plug in the end of the USB cable into your programmer, and you plug in your programmer into your computer. So I plug it into mine. I've got my computer, I'm running Slackware 15, which is tremendously awesome. And then after you've downloaded the FlashForth software, you can unzip that somewhere. So I'll go over to where that's at. I made a demo directory, went into there. And then if you navigate into where you've unzipped the FlashForth software, you'll find a folder that's AVR and hex. And if you navigate over to that and you ls on it, you'll see that there's some 1, 2, 3, 4 binaries in there, hex binaries that are already pre-built for the different chips. The one that we want to use is the 328 16 megahertz 384 hex. That's just a title. It's nothing special about that. It's a way of identifying. But basically what's telling me is that it's for a 328 chip, it's running 16 megahertz, and the UART, the serial term, the baud rate is 38,400, which is plenty fast enough. And then you're going to do an AVR do incantation. That can vary depending on your program. For mine, and actually it's on the website too. On the website in the flashforth.com website, if you go to the Atmega top menu bar selection and you scroll down a little bit, there's an AVR dude command there that you can copy and then paste into your shell, your bash shell, and you might, depending on the program you're using, you might have to modify that. But what that line of AVR dude command line command will tells the AVR dude the kind of chip, what kind of programmer, any kind of special baud rate you might need, which you do with a programmer built from HPR 2799, you need to use baud rate of 19,200. And then whatever port it's at, it's usually dev TTY USB something 1 or 0 or something. And then there's a couple little flags, that dot erase flag, which erases the chip, but the dot U flag, which is for unsafe, because you're doing something unsafe, and then another capital U, I don't know why it's just the way it is, capital U, and then the file you want to flash, which in this case, it's the 328, 16 megahertz, 384 hex file, and then the last part is some fuses. You're going to be setting fuses in the chip, and the fuses on these boards, on these microchips, are low-level configuration that set up things like memory configuration and whether or not there's going to be a bootloader or whether or not there's all kinds of things. So it's a little beyond the scope here, but the fuse numbers given here are the ones you want to use there. The extended fuse is a hex FF, the high fuse is hex DF, and the low fuse is a hex FF. Now, when you do this, your chip is no longer compatible with the Arduino IDE. You can go back to that if you want to. You can re-put the Arduino bootloader. But basically what's happening is the bootloader section of this chip will now have the fourth virtual machine kernel put in it. And that allows for those words that you need to be able to extend your dictionary to write to the flash and be able to persistently keep that over resets or over power cycles. And so you're using the bootloader section to be able to reprogram the chip dynamically at the serial terminal program that you're using to be able to make the chip useful to you. So anyway, once you've done that, figured out what AVR all your special settings, whatever, you hit enter, and you'll start seeing some stuff. It'll read the chip, and then it'll race the chip, and then it writes the chip, the flash thing, and then it tells you it's done it, and then it reads it again to verify it, and then it sets the fuses, and it's done, just that fast. And now you can unplug your programmer from the board, and you can plug it in. You can plug in the board you just flashed, plug it in, put the USB cable into the board, re-plug it in to reset it into your computer, and now you're going to want to get to your whatever serial terminal program you're going to use. In my case, I'm using Emacs, and so I'll start up the serial terminal. I'm not going to tell you. You can figure that out, and when that's all specific to whatever program you're using, so that could vary. And if you have success, you'll see when your terminal program opens, you'll see eFlashForth5@mega328p04.09.2021. Your chip now has FlashForth on it, and if you hit enter, you should see an OK and a greater than sign with a little hash symbol or octothorpe, a comma, RAM, and another a greater than or less than sign with the angle brackets. And that's all. You're at the command prompt now, and your chip is running just fine. And you're ready to do some flash development. So now, if things didn't work out for you, let me switch over to a different buffer here. Here it is. If things didn't go, if you didn't get that, if you didn't get the prompt, the things to watch for are the fuse settings could be off. Make sure those are correct. You can also flash, sometimes I've had to in the past with different fourth, not this one particularly, but others, flash those fuse settings individually. Don't do all that programming all at once. Another thing to check, of course, is your baud rate. Make sure you got a good baud rate. Make sure you put the right hex file on board. If you, for some reason, those things are very specific, the fuse settings and the hex file. Make sure that's all good to go, that they're all together. Hopefully, it did work. It should work. Just give it a try. If not, you might have to do a little troubleshooting. Make sure you check your connections. In Linux, check your permissions. For like Slackware, I had to put myself in the dialog group, and then everything works just fine. But that depends on distribution and how they do their permissions. And that's about it. That's the only troubleshooting hints I can give you. And now, the main part of this demonstration is let's do a little bit of programming on this chip. So now go back to your terminal program and you see OK RAM. And one piece of a document that's really helpful is the data sheet for that whatever chip you're using. In this case, it would be the data sheet for the Atmega 328P. And when you look at the data sheet that you can get from Atmel, in that document, it's like a 350-page document. Towards the end there, in section 30, there's a registry summary. And if you go to the registries in these chips are what everything works on. You manipulate bits inside registers to make things happen. That's what's happening if you're using the Arduino environment or MicroPython or compiling a C program and uploading it. That's what's happening. You are manipulating bits in registers to make pins on the chip change their voltage value or to input things or to make parts of the chip like the analog to digital converters work. Those are all manipulated in these registers. And so what programming languages like to do is to obscure those things. And that's not a bad thing. I'm just saying that's what they do. They make, instead of having to deal with numbers, you're dealing with just very simple words that you know, like that they're easily to see. I think an Arduino, it's to set up a pin. You'd say digital pin up or something or output or something. I don't really remember, but it's something like that. So in similar fashion in FlashForth, it's the same kind of thing, except you can manipulate it at a very low level if you want. And so today, what we're going to do is we're going to initially just make that ubiquitous digital 13 in Arduino speak LED that's attached on all Arduino boards, make that thing turn off and on. That's the gold standard of the hello world in the microcontroller world. Now, there is another easier one, a hello world that's kind of a cheat, but let's just do it anyway. And so to do that, we're going to type in a few things here. First thing you're going to type is colon, space, we'll just call it hello, space, and then we're going to do colon, quote, space, hello, comma, world, close quote, and a semicolon, and when you hit enter, you should say OK RAM, and what that is you've just created a word in Forth, and the word is hello. What you've done is the first thing is the colon. Again, everything in Forth on the line is a word. It has meaning. There's no syntax sugar. So everything means something, and the things that it means are in the colon tells the interpreter that I want to go into compiling mode. And then what it does next is the next thing that it's printed out is the word that you're compiling. That would be a hello. The next word that you print is the dot quote, and that's a built-in FlashForth word. That says print this to the terminal, and then you have to have a space there because now it's saying whatever's coming next until I get to another quote, I'm just going to print that to the terminal. And in this case, I did hello world, close quote, and then the semicolon tells the interpreter I'm done with what I want to compile. Please compile it. And if it then compiles the word into the dictionary, and if it works, it says okay. If it doesn't work, it'll give you an error. But in my case, it says okay. Now, if I type hello, it'll say hello world. On the same line, it's kind of messy, but it's hello world one way in the using flash forth. Now that word is persistent. If I power cycle the chip, if I reset it, it'll, and I type in hello, it'll come back out. There is a word built into Flash called empty that will empty the dictionary of everything that you've put into it. I won't do that here today, but there's ways to reset the chip without reflashing it, which is a very nice feature of Flash 4th. Let's see, let's get this buffer up. All right. Okay, now the next one we're going to do, next little demo, is back still at the serial term. This time I'm going to type in, I'm not going to use the compiler, this is immediate mode. I'm going to put in a dollar sign, 25, and I'm going to do, let me back that up. I'm going to do a percent sign, and I'm going to go 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0. Did a percent sign, two zeros, a 1, a 0, and then four zeros. Percent sign tells the interpreter, hey, the next number that's coming your way is a binary representation of a number. And then in the same token, the next thing I'm going to do is a dollar sign 25. And that tells the interpreter, hey, the next number that you're going to see is a hex number, hexadecimal number. And then the last is a command C. Now look at your board when you hit enter. It's C with an exclamation point, which is C store. You're going to store the binary number 00100000 at the hex value of 25. That's a register number. It's going to put that value into that register, and what should happen is that light on the board should come on, and it does. Now to turn it off, you can just go dollar sign, you can just do zero, dollar sign 25, C, store, and now you're storing the value of zero, which should turn it off, and it does. And so now to we're going to build a little bit of build a couple words. The first word is going to be LED on, and to do that you're going to do colon space LED dash on. That's the name of the word you're creating because you just turned the compiler on when you put the colon on. And then you're going to recopy that line that you just did, which is percent sign 0010123 4 zeros, and then dollar sign 25 C exclamation point, which is C store, and then the semicolon, which is close the compilers. And so LED on is going to be defined by that. You hit, it says OK. That means that's in there. And then I'm going to do LED off, which is another word. So I did a colon LED off, dash off, and then I'll just put a zero, and then dollar sign 25, C store, semicolon, hit that. It says OK RAM. And now I'm going to do flash. So I did another, this is a new, so now you've, there's now three words that you've created in the Flash dictionary. The first one, hello, which is that hello world. The second one is LED on, which is, turns that LED on. And the second one is LED off. And we can test those. We can do LED dash on, and the light comes on. And I can do LED dash off, and the light turns off. And now I can make a word. To make a word, I start the compiler, which starts with a colon. And I'll do flash LED. And it's going to be LED on. And then I'm going to put a octothorpe or a hashtag 1, which is I'm sorry, 1,000, which is a, the hashtag tells that the next number is going to be a decimal number. And so the octothorpe hashtag 1,000, and then, MS, a space MS, which is a delay function that's built into Flash 4, a convenience function. And then I'm going to go LED dash off. And I'm going to do the same thing. I'm going to pause for a second. And then I'm going to go, so that's hashtag 1000 milliseconds, 1000 space MS, sorry, and then a semicolon, and so that closed it to stop the compiler. So I'll just read it off real here. It's a colon, a flash dash LED, which is the word that you're creating, LED on, which is links to that word that you created earlier, the hashtag 1000 milliseconds, or hashtag 1000 space MS, which will delay for, do whatever you're doing for 1000 seconds, and then, or 1000 milliseconds, which is 1 second. And then I'm going to call the word LED off, which turns the LED off. Again, that's, it's calling back what you created, LED off, the word you created. And then again, hashtag 1000 space MS and semicolon. Hit enter, you hit OK RAM, and now if I do flash, if I just type in flash LED at the prompt there and hit enter, my light is flashing very slowly. Oh, you know what, because it's not, it's, I put in the wrong number, 1000, it is 1000. Oh, no. I know why, because it's just one time. It did it one time, just what it says, flash LED. If you want it to go on over and over, you can just type flash LED a few times, on flash LED a few times. I'll do it 3 times, and it should flash 3 times. And it did. You can do a begin and end loop if you want to make it endless. There's all kinds of different things you can do. But for now, that's probably enough, and I'll have those words in the show notes so you can look at them as opposed to necessarily and try to figure out what I just rambled on about. Sorry about that. But that's it. That's how you get Flash 4th on a microcontroller. The power of it is you can play with registers, make the chip do things, interact with peripherals, do all kinds of cool stuff without having to do that write, compile, upload cycle. You're at a repel loop where you can just work interactively with the chip, see things how they work, and build words, building block style, make little things work, add on, connect them together, make larger programs. So that's Flash 4th on the chip, and I think that concludes this series on doing Flash 4th. If you're interested in it, if you want any, of course, there's links for all kinds of information in those show notes that I've had in the last episodes. There's a goodly amount of community action on the Flash 4th website. There's some YouTube channels that are available. It's a very cool way to work with microcontrollers. And it's fun, and it's very robust and useful and powerful. If you have any questions of myself, you can of course email me. Or you can make a show, maybe tell us about a 4th project that you put together through this. Anyway, it's probably enough for now. This is Brian in Ohio signing off. I want to remind everybody that there's 2 kinds of people in the world: those with guns and those that dig. Bye-bye.
You've been listening to Hacker Public Radio at hackerpublicradio.org. Today's show was contributed by an HPR listener like yourself. If you ever thought of recording a podcast, then click on our contribute link to find out how easy it really is. Hosting for HPR is kindly provided by anhonesthost.com, the Internet Archive, and rsync.net. Unless otherwise stated, today's show is released under a Creative Commons Attribution Share Alike 3.0 license.